The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, March the 27th. On today's broadcast, we'll hear from Danny Dietrich and from Brian Monteith on their epic battle to kick off the 2012 season at the Williams Grove Speedway. We'll talk with Dean Reynolds, a longtime public relations director for the Empire Super Sprints, about the 30th season of the ESS. And we'll catch up with the Raging Cajun, Jason Johnson, and the current points leader for the American Sprint Car Series and National Tour. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by Rod and Supply. They don't just sell them, they raise them. By the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions, and Kinzer air filters, proudly made in the USA. With 30 years experience, Kinzer air filters is a trusted name in the racing industry. Their 360-degree dome positive charge air filter is the cleanest air filter on the market. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer air filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. It's easy to use and cleans with soap and water. To learn more, call Roger Kinzer at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103, or visit kinzerdirect.com. Kinzer air filters, made in the USA.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show, everybody. Well, last Friday night, it was a season opener for the Williams Grove Speedway. 40 410 sprint cars were on hand. The place was absolutely packed, and in the end, the season-opening 25-lap feature did not disappoint. Brian Monteith tried a slide job on Danny Dietrich in the final turn, but couldn't make it stick as Dietrich went on to win his first ever opening day feature and his fourth career win at the Williams Grove Speedway. We caught up with both drivers, and we'll hear first from Brian Monteith about the slide job that almost got him that win.
I needed that lap traffic just because how long it takes to get around this place. I seen Danny was up there, and I seen he was having trouble with traffic because, I mean, there was a lot of it, top, bottom, you know what I mean? And it's always better to run second or third in lap traffic, especially here. But just couldn't make it stick. I tried, you know, and I ran out of racing room, got against the fence, and I had to lift. But, you know, the team did a hell of a job. They gave me a good car all day, all night, and we'll take it for first night out.
Dietrich is off to a good start for the season so far. He is the current points leader at the Lincoln Speedway, and after the win on Friday evening, he talked about chasing down Fred Raymer for the lead.
We're kind of buying our time, and Fred's always tough. You never know what to expect. He might have been saving his car, and I thought we were pretty good, so I tried to just kind of keep cool, running, keep running my lane once I got by him. That way, you didn't have to worry about him or, you know, me screw up. But you know, our car was good. Once we got by him, I just kind of got in cruise mode. I didn't want to use my car up too much. And I had to be careful with lap cars. Track like this, they can be very, I wouldn't say dangerous, but, you know, they never know. You know, they're racing, too, for position. So, buying my time, and then once I saw Monteith, when we got the five to go, you know, I knew it was time to get the pony up and going. When he tried to slide me, the next lap, I just kind of prepared for it there, the last lap. You know, I got in a little bit wide, tried to get the car turned, and, yeah, it would have been a hell of a finish if he wouldn't hit the wall.
In the 20-lap 358 sprint car feature, Pat Cannon of Edders got by Mark Smith early and went on to score his 26th career 358 sprint car feature win at Williams Grove Speedway. Surprisingly, only 20 358 sprint cars signed in for opening night. We caught up with Pat afterwards to get his thoughts on the opening night win.
Car was operating real good, real well off of 1 and 2 down there, and I guess got a good run and got by him there. Motor's been running real well, and the car's just operating. We weren't fantastic tonight, but we were pretty damn good, and it was just good anytime you get to drive to the front and win. And that's what it's all about, and we were able to do that a couple nights in a row. As last year taught us, all things can go wrong in a heartbeat here, so we'll just keep plugging away and try to pick off as many wins as we can.
The rest of the weekend in Central Pennsylvania was a washout, but a reminder, this coming Saturday, March the 31st, it's the rescheduled opener for the Mach 1 chassis Mid-Atlantic 360 sprint cars that's coming up at the Sealands Grove Speedway. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Dean Reynolds of the Empire Super Sprints. That and more next. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show on the Dirt Track Channel. PenskeRacing.com. The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We head up to the Syracuse area, bring in the longtime public relations director for the Lucas Oil Empire Super Sprints, now in his 20th year. Geez, 20 years already. Dean Reynolds joining us here on the show. Hard to imagine, eh, Dean? 20 years with the ESS. That's a long time.
Yeah, thanks, Sean, for making me feel just a little bit older. No, it's been a 20-year. This is my 20th season, and you know as well as I, if you stay with something that long, that means you're still enjoying it, and I really am.
Indeed, and you know, you've seen many of the greats come through throughout the years. If you had to go back and pick out some of the greats, who were some of the greats back in the days when you first started covering and running with ESS?
Well, when I started the banquet of 1992. And during that time, that was towards the end of Mal Lane's run, where he won six titles in a row. So when I got in, it was basically when Mike Woodring was the man to beat with ESS. And then, you know, Craig Keel came and ran with us after he got off the Outlaw Trail and won a couple titles with us. And then Lance Young won a couple. And Mike Lutz left Western PA to run with us for 1 year and won a title. So I've seen, you know, a lot of good drivers. And, of course, you know, a lot of people know Erin Crocker. And she got her start with ESS. And, you know, we do have a lot of history up here in New York.
I know everybody gets asked this when they hit a certain plateau in this business, but is there any memorable race from 20 years that you've covered, whether it's because of a late race pass or a longtime legend winning a race, or maybe going to a racetrack that hadn't had ESS before? Does any one memory stick out in your mind?
Well, you know, it's funny because one of the memories that I've always had, and we're actually kind of going back, and we'll talk about it a little later, was ESS actually had a full point show at Sillings Grove. And back then, that was a huge deal for us because it was in 1996, and even though ESS was established, we got invited to come down and put on one of our own shows in the middle of Central PA, and that's when Ted Wright's had the track, and he booked one ESS show, one URC show, and then we came back and ran a challenge race together, and that was really a big highlight. And then also, when in the year 2000, when Glenn Donnelly brought the 360s on the Syracuse Mile, and one of our own drivers, Lance Young, won. And probably those two stand out. I mean, I got a lot of great memories, but those two really do stand out.
Well, we will talk about Sillings Grove and 360 racing here in just a moment, but let's talk about the 2012 season as the Empire Super Sprints, 32 dates, 18 tracks. What's new? What's attractive about this year's schedule?
Well, the main thing is we came off a really good season where I think a lot of tracks or sanctioning bodies, you know, because of the economy and stuff like that might have struggled a little bit, but we had a really strong year, and we built on that momentum. A lot of teams followed our tour. We had some great races. We got some awesome drivers, and just about every single track that we had last year is back, and then we picked up a few new ones, and our schedule is actually five races more than what we had last year.
Pretty interesting. And looking over, of course, the staples, Fonda, Utica, Rome, but you also have this really unique two-day challenge, the Can-Am Challenge. Tell us a little bit about that.
That is something new this year that Autodrome Granby is going to try to do. Autodrome Granby has always been a big supporter of ESS. They booked two full-point races of ESS, but they're starting their season in the beginning of May, and they wanted to do kind of a something different. So they're doing a pretty good size 2-day deal for 360s, where the Saturday night 30 lap feature pays $5,000 to win, and it's $500 to start. They have their own modifieds on both nights as well, and kind of make a big weekend deal of it. And really, the only thing that can be an obstacle that early in the year is weather up there. I mean, it's still cold up in Quebec, and but if they hit a good weekend, I think it's going to be a really good deal.
When you look back on 2011, what was the surprise of last year?
Well, I don't know if I was really surprised, but the big story, of course, was the battle between Chuck Hebing and Steve Poirier. I never really saw two drivers go at it like they did every race. One race Chuck would win, one race Steve would win, and it came down to 7 points there at the championship where Chuck Hebing got his first ever EFS title. But also, Sean Donath taking third in points, and 17-year-old Kevin Ward fourth in points, and Corey Sparks fifth in points. So we had a unique deal where we had two veterans going at it for the title, and by the way, two very good friends. And then we had some young drivers finish in the top five, and it made for a really fun season.
Yeah, and just looking at the points, as you mentioned, 7 points, Poirier picking up 8 wins, Hebe picking up 6. Then you go up to the top fives, he being 16 to 18 for Poirier, but then 23 top tens for Chuck and 22 top tens for Steve. So really, I guess it was one of those years then, Dean, that any night one or two little things happen here or there, or one guy gets passed by another car, and that could be a completely turned around championship then.
Yeah, it was, you know, when you talk 22 or 23 top tens, you're talking at a 27 events. So it just shows how consistent the two drivers were in their race teams. And it was, you know, it was fun to watch because they're both really nice guys. They both sponsor in our club with their own businesses that they own. So they like to give the money back. And, you know, even our own competitors sat back and actually watched them going at it. And it came right down to the last race. And That makes for an exciting year, and I think with them battling out for the championship, we had some really thrilling shows that came right down to the last lap, and I think that helped in us getting such a good schedule again for this year.
And you had mentioned Sean Donath, of course, Sean coming over from the Modifieds. How has he made the transitions from Modifieds to the Sprint Cars?
You know, even he said during the banquet last year that he even surprised himself. His first full year with Sprint Cars, you know, Doug Emery set up the car and gave him some good equipment. And Sean was really hoping for a top 10 in points and maybe one win. But to come out third in points, and he actually led the points right to about mid-season. And to come out third, you know, like you said, he was just even surprised about that. Now, Doug had a shoestring-type budget, and now Sean's moved over to the Ron Mucci team. That's going to be a two-car stable coming into ESS this year. A little bit more funding behind it. Doug's going to be a consultant on the team, and hopefully Sean maybe can take it to the next step.
We're talking with Dean Reynolds, longtime media relations director for the Lucas Oil Empire Super Sprints. Dean celebrating his 20th season as the PR man for ESS, and ESS as a group celebrating their 30th year. And there'll be 32 dates on the schedule with New York, Pennsylvania, Quebec, and Ontario are where they'll be going to. And, Dean, you were telling me before we got on the air here, you actually don't have new tracks on the calendar this year, but you're actually going back to some tracks you guys hadn't been to in the past. Tell the fans a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're going back to 3 tracks that has been off the schedule a little bit, and, you know, we're happy to come back. One, of course, is Albany-Saratoga with Howie Commander taking over the track and putting dirt back onto the asphalt. And we had a real good event at Lebanon Valley, which Howie Commander, of course, owns last year. And then they asked us to be part of their Friday night program at Albany-Saratoga. And, of course, we jumped at that, and we're going there on Friday, August 10th. We haven't been to Merrittville since 2009, and they asked us to come on back, and we're going to be part of a big really a big deal there at Merrittville on June 30th. It's a big Canadian holiday weekend as well as it is here in the States, and it's the only appearance of the Sprint Cars, which is going to be really nice, and we're looking forward to that. And then one race that, even though we've been there every year pretty much since the early 90s, is Rolling Wheels Raceway. But this year we're doing a special Tuesday night show on July 3rd. But it's going to be a full point ESS deal instead of a challenge race, which has been over the last couple of years. And that is going to be really, really fun, especially midweek, because you never know who's going to show up. We got a little added purse being 2,000 to win. And some of the ESS regulars are, you know, going to have a lot of fun at the fast track.
Now, speaking of some of the challenge races, some of the other races that you guys had been to in the past, you alluded to it before. A number of years ago, you came to Sealands Grove Speedway for a full point show, and a number of dates for Sealands Grove on your schedule this year in conjunction with the Mach 1 chassis Mid-Atlantic 360 Sprint Car Series. Tell us a little bit about what entices you guys to come down and race here with that deal. Is that a full points paying deal, and how is that actually going to work overall for the ESS Championship in 2012?
Well, the Mach 1 series, actually, we don't pay any points for our teams on that because, with Sealands Grove and Lincoln really being out of the area and with our schedule being, travel heavy as it is now, it's more or less a deal where we put on for fun. But with several of the races, four actually out of the six, not conflicting with any of our tour, you're going to get several of the ESS teams come down. And actually this past Saturday, we had 17s coming down for the opener, which got rained out, and it's going to be this Saturday. But from what I hear, all 17s will be back. We worked out a deal with Brian Scandal. We gave him a call and said, Brian, we'd be more than happy to help out and help promote these shows because, 360s, if they get stronger in other areas, can only help yourself out. And we decided to put the four events on the schedule. Worked out a deal with Brian where we can bring our merchandise trailer down, so we'll have our merchandise trailer at all the events. And then also in return, Mach 1 is going to sponsor our Hard Luck Award, where Brian and Mark Smith has given us a chassis to our Hard Luck Award, which is an absolute awesome prize, especially for our Hard Luck Award. Somebody's going to walk out with a complete Mach 1 frame, and that's a good deal right there. But with Sealings Grove and Lincoln being in the heart of Central PA, a lot of our teams don't get a chance to run down there, but the way the schedule really worked out, it worked out on open dates where we don't have a lot of races either the weekend before or the weekend after. And we had Chuck Hebing coming down this past Saturday. We had Steve Poirier coming down. Kevin Ward was coming down. Also Jessica Zemkin, Michael Perrant, who ran a 410 at Williams Grove on Friday, was going to be there. Last year's we had a Quebec rookie, Patrick Vigneault, who was running the whole tour this year, was coming down. And we also had Stevie Collins, who runs part-time with us, coming down. And they all said they're going to be back this coming Saturday, so you're going to get a lot of ESS flair at Sealings Grove. And I think it's probably going to be the first time you're going to have a Quebec native driver run at Sealings Grove. I don't think they ever had one.
That would be pretty interesting. And I know in talking to Glenn Stires, although he doesn't run a lot with you guys, Glenn was down running a 410 at Williams Grove. He was headed to Sealings Grove on Saturday night. Now, whether or not he'll be back down this weekend, I don't know. But it sounds like there is interest from the folks at ESS to help promote the 360 deal. Do you see this as something being positive for the overall growth of 360 racing here in the Northeast?
I think so. I mean, I'm not down in Central PA quite a bit, but I noticed that the 358 seemed to be declining a little bit in numbers. And then when we saw that there's they only had 20 at Williams Grove on Friday. That kind of has to put up a little flag, I think, as well, where Williams Grove has always drawn higher numbers. But in talking with Brian, a 360 engine can be used all across the country, where a 358 engine can only be used in Central PA. And really, the 358s did come out as a cost-cutting measure for teams to go affordable racing, but those motors have gotten just as expensive as 360s. So now you're buying these 358 motors, but you can only run three or four different tracks and can't travel anywhere. So I think you're going to see Central PA slowly turn over to the 360s. When, I don't know. I mean, it just all depends on how the car counts work, and hopefully this series is supported by race teams and supported by the fans as well. With Sealings Grove being the closest of the tracks in Central PA to our Central New York routes, maybe it could work out to something down the road where even the National Open could be something even bigger with maybe you know, us, maybe URC and you know, Central PA 360 is getting together and putting on a show as a combined deal. It can only help. It can only grow. You know, as far as us being part of the point deal, you probably won't see that because it is away from our nucleus. And, you know, quite frankly, a lot of teams just can't afford to go down there. But we do have some high-dollar teams that do like to travel and do it for fun. And as you saw, Sean, you saw Chuck Hebing actually came down there in the RLC weekend to get some laps, and that shows you how serious he was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was he was out there chasing a late model around the track, which was pretty cute. Yeah, they had him on the track at the same time. I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting because many years ago when I was working and living down in Charlotte, they thought at the Metrolina Speedway they wanted to see which was faster, a late model or a sprint car, and they started the legendary Glenn Fitzcharles on the backstretch and the late model on the front stretch, and it took Glenn maybe a lap and a half or so, and he passed the late model by, so... No, Chuck was turning in some pretty good times, and I was talking with Jessica Zemkin about racing there. She's looking forward to it, so it should be a very interesting Saturday. Dean, what are you looking forward to the most about this 30th season of the Empire Super Sprints?
Well, the thing I'm looking forward to the most is another good season with the points and on down to the Lucas Oil Championship. We got all the teams that ran our tour last year back. And we do have an influx of new drivers coming in. Sammy Reeks IV and Paul Kinney, who came from the Modified and Sportsman ranks. We got Paul Habeck and Charlie Donk, who came from the Canandaigua Modifieds. They're going to run most, if not all, the tour. Joe Trinka is going to be getting mentored by Sean Donath as part of the Mucci team. And, you know, we got some other teams that ran some of the shows last year but looking to do a heavier schedule this year. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to seeing some of the new teams mix it up with the faithful. You know, the Lance Youngs, the Chuck Ebings, and, the Steve Poyers and Jeff Cooks. And, you know, and that's always fun when you get an influx of new talent as well. And just seeing everyone gel and have some good events in front of some good crowds. And, you know, hopefully, our good momentum and good luck continues.
And, of course, you can check out all these happenings on their website. And EmpireSuperSprints.com. What about the social deals? Are you guys doing Twitter and Facebook as well?
Yes, we are. We actually just started doing Facebook this year. We just simply type in Empire Super Sprints, and we have a Facebook page. And by the way, if anyone's listening, we also have a contest. If you pick the winner of this Saturday's Mach 1 event, you'll get a chance of winning an ESS t-shirt and a Lucas Oil t-shirt. So if... more than one person picks the winner, then I'll pick the winner at a random out of those winners. So if they just want to get on our page, all they got to do is simply like it and then place in their winner. And then Twitter we've actually done for a couple of years now. And what we do is a unique live Twitter box on EmpireSuperSpins.com. So if they don't have Twitter on their cell phones, they can actually sit at home, stare at this box, and get live updates as I do it right through my phone. And you actually get... who won the ESS show literally 30 seconds after they crossed the start-finish line.
That's pretty neat. Well, we will definitely make sure we make mention later on in the broadcast here about the contest on the Facebook for the Empire Super Sprints. Dean, always a pleasure to speak with you. We thank you for your time, and we look forward to seeing you Saturday at Sea Winds Grove Speedway for the kickoff of the Mach 1 Chassis Mid-Atlantic 360 Series.
Thanks, Sean. Yeah, and it looks like the long-range weather forecast is definitely better than what we had this past weekend.
So, yeah.
We're really looking forward to doing it. And then, you know, stop on out to the ESS merchandise trailer. We'll have it there. You know, get all our new apparel in. And, you know, stop on by and say hi if you want. We'll be glad to see you.
Well, Dean, congratulations on 20 years as the Director of Media Relations for the Empire Super Sprints. Have you guys a safe year, and have a safe trip down here for Saturday's race.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate it very much.
Dean Reynolds, the Media Relations Director for the Empire Super Sprints, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We'll take a break and come back with more of our show right after this.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Lance DeDuise, and you're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We head on over to Eunice, Louisiana, and catch up with the current points leader for the American Sprint Car Series on the national tour. They call him the Raging Cajun, Jason Johnson. Jason, always a pleasure to speak with you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. It's definitely a pleasure to be back on the show, and appreciate the opportunity.
Sure thing. Well, not too many races into the season. Jason back on top in the point standing, coming off, fresh off the win at the 39th annual Spring Nationals. Of course, Jason does a lot of running in the off season down in Australia. What is it about you and Australia that likes each other? Because you guys are tearing the place up again. Five wins just since the 1st of January.
Well, when you're a racer for a living, you never want to sit idle. And the first couple of years of racing, I had 3 months off sitting back in the States, and you hear a little bit about Australia and the racing down under, and next thing you know, you start pursuing different rides. And very fortunate, I got hooked up with Alan Haynes, HM Racing, down in Australia, and it's been a successful relationship we had together. And to start the season off with five victories, we just like to keep trying to carry that momentum back to the United States.
How different is the racing down under compared to what you're used to racing on a regular basis throughout the year here in the States?
The tracks are, the venues down in Australia are generally quite a bit smaller. Most of the tracks are more flat, not as much banking. And probably the biggest thing is there's walls all the way around with fans sitting on the side of the bank or the side of the hill all the way around the racetrack. So it's more of like an arena type, kind of like a rodeo event, I guess, to say. The tracks get rough and choppy and stay heavy all throughout the night, and just requires some different setups and different thoughts when you know, from the driver's standpoint.
Of course, of those wins, you picked up two World Series of Sprint Car wins and a preliminary night win. What's it like running with the World Series of Sprint Cars? You ran with the Outlaws, you ran here in Central Pennsylvania. Can you compare what it's like when you're running with those guys to running back in the days of the Outlaws and the Pennsylvania Posse here?
Well, World Series is a 410 sanction series. It's basically very similar to what we call equivalent to the World of Outlaws. The World Series runs from coast to coast, from the East Coast to the West Coast in Australia. And that's where all the best drivers of Australia compete within. Robbie Farr, Max Dumpsey, Brooke Tatnall. Competition level, it's just like anywhere else you go. You got 10 guys that can win on any given night. And, it's whoever can figure the tracks out traveling across the country and, hard work of the race team. So it's very similar to what we do back here in the States with our ASCS Association, just traveling from event to event, state to state.
Any one track in particular that you enjoyed racing at in Australia?
Probably one of my most favorite venues to race at down in Australia would have to be Mount Gambier Speedway down in, it's called Borderline Speedway down in Mount Gambier, South Australia. It's just a little small bullring venue. It does have a little bit of banking to it. Black, sticky clay, and it generally gets really, really racy with the bottom and the top. And it's home of the great supporters of Jason Johnson Racing here in the States, as well as HM Racing in Australia, the GT Bobcat family. So it makes it a lot of fun to go into their hometown and compete and be competitive every time we actually show up.
Jason, you got your start in open wheel racing in 93, but you go back to when you were just 4 years old and you started racing. Could you have imagined in 93 that here you are in 2012 and you would be a not only predominant fixture, but a well-loved fixture in Australia racing?
No, really, really not. I mean, you never know, where your career is going to take you or, what kind of opportunities are going to present themselves. But very, very fortunate to have gone down to Australia to get started with Disberry Family Racing. That all led off with Jeff Shepherd lending me a hand. He went down there and drove for DFR Racing one season, and he couldn't go back the next year and suggested my name, and I was excited to go, and just from there on, it just carried on from year to year. So, you know, just sometimes you just got to be in the right place at the right time, but very thankful for the opportunity and enjoy going down every winter.
What got you started in racing?
For myself, I believe it was, you know, starting off with my father. My father was into racing. My parents were into racing. My family was into racing. And just growing up as a kid, you know, you spend all your Saturday nights at the local dirt track and running around in the dirt and playing with other racers and other kids. And I think it's just, once it gets into your blood, it's something that is, you know, it's real hard to get out and you really enjoy. And it's been a pretty successful career and just enjoying every moment of it.
If you hadn't been a racer, what would you have been?
Oh, I'm not really sure. I never really actually thought of that. I tried a couple different professions, nothing that I really ever preferred to keep after, but, you know, just very thankful for the opportunity that racing has provided for us.
You've been very successful on the ASCS Tour, as we were talking about before we came on air here. The points leader, first multiple winner of this season of the ASCS. You won the title in 08. You won the owner's title last year and the driver's title in 2010. Tell me a little bit about how the season's been going so far.
Well, you know, I've had a great relationship with ASCS, and it all started back driving for the Shop Motorsports, Lanny and Alan Rao out of Greenville, Texas, back in 2000. And that's what propelled us to our first championship in 2008, driving for these guys. And it was a great relationship. Over the years, I drove for the Shop Motorsports team for, I believe, 7 or 8 years and had a lot of success. And at the end of 2009, you know, the Shop Motorsports decided that they wanted to get out of the sport for different reasons, no in particular reason. And, you know, it gave me the opportunity to start Jason Johnson Racing. We had a lot of great supporters from around the world, including Australia. And even with the Shop Motorsports being involved with us as well, it just made it for a great opportunity to get everything off the ground. And, you know, it's been really, really fun. And to win a championship as a driver and an owner in 2010, it was magnificent. You know, the feeling that not only did you accomplish something as a driver, but to know that you assembled the people and the quality of the crew guys and everybody involved, it was really a unique experience. And then to come back last year and with the commitment to having a race down in Australia and, you know, put supplement drivers such as Kyle Larson and Jack Dover. They did excellent jobs at the beginning of the year. The guys started the momentum with the race team. I got back from Australia, and we ended up clinching a 2011 Owners' Championship. It just provided some unique experiences in life and something that you would never think you would succeed as a driver of a sprint car. So very thankful for the opportunities that racing has provided.
When you decided to form Jason Johnson Racing, what were some of the apprehensions that you had, and now as time has gone on, as you look back, what were some of the things that you thought about that maybe weren't as bad as they maybe appeared? Because it is a big leap of faith from going to just being a driver and working on the car now to actually driving it and being a team owner.
Yeah, it was definitely a big, huge leap, you know, to go from just a driver to the owner standpoint. But I had a very good teacher. The Shop Motorsports that I'd driven for all these seasons, they had a lot of faith in myself. And throughout the years, Mr. Lanny put more involvement and more pressure on me to run the team and keep the operation going with the financial statements of each month. And, you know, as time goes on, you tend to learn, you know, not to wastefully spend and spend wisely and purchase what's necessary, not what's just needed or what's wanted. And so I think the lessons I learned throughout the years, I had a pretty good perspective, but to come out and really own a team, it's pretty overwhelming, the expenses that it takes just to keep the team out there from week to week and day to day. And it's not necessarily the tires and the race car parts of the fuel, but just the in and outs of crews and motels and other expenses that are probably a little more overwhelming that you never really expected.
We're talking with Jason Johnson, the current points leader for the American Sprint Car Series National Tour and the 2010 National Champion, of course, back in 08 as well. Jason, you also had a chance to run here in Central Pennsylvania for a little bit. What did you take away from that experience?
Probably the biggest thing is that each night each night is its own unique night. And, you know, whether you had a good night last night or you had a bad night, you cannot carry that into the next event, into the next day. And, you know, you race so much out in PA. I mean, I had a very great opportunity to drive for the Klein. And, you know, to race, I believe that season we run about 132 nights, including Australia. And when you run that many nights, you got to wake up every morning with a fresh start.
Pretty interesting observation there. This year, you have Roush Yates Ford engines under your hood. How did that come about, and what are your thoughts on the engine so far?
Well, Roush Yates and I, when we started Jason Johnson Racing, we had a discussion about Roush Yates getting involved, and you know, we had talked to these guys a couple different times, and just things didn't revolve. And then as time come about, I made friends with Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and Ricky actually run a second car for the first time. Jason Johnson Racing got a second car out at the Short Track Nationals, and we put Ricky in as a driver, and we had a lot of fun together, and Ricky had a lot of fun and got him away from what he does each weekend on Saturday and Sundays, which he enjoys. It's just something, you know, going back to your grassroots. So as time evolved, you know, Ricky's alliance with Ford and with Roush Yates with his Nationwide Series and championship and all, it was just a great opportunity for us to all join forces and showcase the Ford power with Roush Yates building the engine.
A lot of people over the years have shied away from the Fords. Predominantly the Chevy is the engine of choice in the sprint cars. What do you think about what this Roush Yates Ford has done so far for your operation? And do you think we'll see more drivers taking a look and possibly running this Roush Yates Ford engine in their own sprint car in the future?
Well, I seriously believe, you know, results speak for themselves, and the Roush Yates racing engines, you know, they're running really strong right now. And, you know, from the time that we had a discussion last fall at the end of the season to where we're at today, I mean, we made a couple minor changes to what they normally do, but nothing very significant. And they got a really, really strong package, and I believe that's shown here at the beginning of the season how consistent we've been. And, you know, far as horsepower-wise, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, we get this Ford up on the big racetracks, this thing really runs. So, you know, I think it's going to be for a good long season, a successful season, and we're definitely excited and thrilled to have Roush Yates as well as Ford, part of our organization.
Well, Jason, listen, we want to thank you very much for your time to chat with us here on the Sprint Car Show. And again, all the best of luck for a continued successful and safe season as the current points leader on the ASCS National Tour.
Hey, thanks for having me back on the show. And for all the fans out in PA, you know, we hope to make it up to the Pennsylvania region at some point throughout the year. We're not really sure when we're going to do that at this point, but we definitely enjoy all the support that we get from PA. Thank you.
Sure thing. The Raging Cajun, Jason Johnson, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We'll take a break and come back with more of our show right after this.
At Rod End Supply, they have the unique opportunity to be involved with all sorts of auto racing and performance-related industries, including farming equipment. Whether you're running a go-kart, micro-sprint, midget, modified, late model, sprint car, or a tractor, Rod End Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performing at your maximum potential. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively with prompt and courteous service. Their promise is to continue to provide superior service with superior products that will keep you in front of your field. To learn more, log on to rodendsupply.com or call Bob Douglas and his staff at 1-800-284-2902. That's 1-800-284-2902. Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show, everybody. Special thanks to our guests, Dean Reynolds from the Empire Super Sprints and Jason Johnson, the current points leader for the American Sprint Car Series. And as Dean reminded you, and we'll remind you again, be sure to like Empire Super Sprints on Facebook. Just type in Empire Super Sprints. And once you do like that page, put in your pick for who will win this weekend's opener for the Mach 1 Chassis 360 show at Sealands Grove Speedway. And your chance to win a Lucas Oil ESS t-shirt. Elsewhere around the country, the NCRA will kick off its season on Saturday night at 81 Speedway. CJ Johnson is the two-time defending champion of the series. They also have a new website, racencra.com. That's racencra.com. The USAC CRA boys are back in action on Saturday night at the Paris Auto Speedway, and the current points leader is Nick Foss. The Southern Ontario Sprints have released their 2012 calendar for their 17th season of action. They have 14 dates, including the opener at the Autodrome Granby Speedway on May 17th, and they'll also sanction the two-day Canadian Sprint Car Nationals on September the 14th and 15th. And the World of Outlaws are hoping for a little bit of sunshine out in California after getting rained out the last two Saturdays. They will wrap up their West Coast swings with stops at Merced and Calistoga over the weekend. Donnie Schatz is the current points leader by 20 over Joey Saldana. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Just type in the Sprint Car Show and make sure you like us as well. That's all the time we have for this week's show. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget, we'll have post-race reaction from a Friday night at Williams Grove and Saturday at Sewins Grove right here on special editions of the Sprint Car Show. For all of us here at the Dirt Track Channel, I'm Sean Wood. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. So long for now. Today's broadcast of the Sprint Car Show has been brought to you by Rod and Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. By Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. By Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA, and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.